Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. You may have heard contributor Joanne Nelson's essays on Lake Effect before. For Nelson, writing has always been a way to not just escape, but process things in her life. Her new memoir, This Is How We Leave, is a collection of essays that span Nelson's life, from her Milwaukee working-class Catholic school upbringing to building her own family while juggling her past. Amidst the background of a family filled with abandonment, disruption, emotional abuse, and alcoholism, Nelson walks readers through her life's memories with detail, humor, and empathy. She joins me now to share more about her new memoir. Joanne Nelson, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So this is the first time we've had a bit of a different format. Normally our listeners hear your essays and commentaries, but this time around, we're here to talk about your new memoir, This Is How We Leave. So before we get into the content of this book, I'm wondering, when did writing become a tool or a form of release for you?
That's such a wonderful question. I think when I was young, I remember in second grade getting some praise for a story. I think it was about some kids who got stuck in a drainage pipe. Clearly, since I remember that, it must have been important. But so I got this nice attention and I liked it. So throughout my life, there's been periods of a lot of writing, periods of not writing. I think in terms of an outlet, I've always journaled, and I even remember specifically in college journaling a lot to try and figure out what I was feeling and what I was doing.
So this book, This Is How We Leave, is a memoir, and it's a collection of essays. So how did this come together? I know you've always been writing, and you have maybe single pieces or commentaries, and these all kind of weave together throughout a timeline. So did you see that your essay collection kept growing and then realize like, hey, I can make this work and transform this into a book?
Mm-hmm. I did see it as an essay collection. And when I submitted it to Vine Leaves Press and they wrote me a letter of offer, in that letter, they said they saw it more as a memoir than a collection of essays. And they wrote me such a thorough letter all about the book that I was so curious about their view of it that I wanted to go with it as a memoir. So I said, okay. And part of their editing process involves helping smooth those transitions and making the timeline all work together. So there was a wonderful give and take of guidance with the publisher.
I find that really interesting that they're the ones who said, well, we see this as a memoir versus how you went into it initially, though. And of course, this spans throughout your life. And I want to bring up a part of your book that is you sitting with your mom and a nun of a school here in Milwaukee. So here's the quote. Mostly, though, I found emotions both dangerous and ineffective. Signs of anger led to punishment and tears led to teasing. Better to keep my head down, withdraw inside, and embrace being, quote, stone. So I can see this approach not just in how you move through your family's dynamics as a young girl growing older, but also in the way your writing presents like plain details. You know, that's kind of your grounding way of approaching things. So you mentioned you kind of have written on and off, but did writing play a role in helping you remain stone and fill your pages with processing and emotions and be able to be stone face in the outer world and then be able to withdraw inside?
I would assume so. In the moment, I certainly didn't have that kind of wisdom available to me to see it that way. But I would assume that that was sort of a saving grace to kind of almost have that friend next to me that I could tell stuff to that I didn't trust anyone else with, even as a youngster. Although I think probably, let me see, at that age, I probably wasn't getting in depth in my journaling. It was probably more of a cataloging of events, but still it felt like a safe place to go.
With this book spanning throughout your life, of course, it brings the whole concept of memories, right? So did you struggle with memory in the sense of writing what may have, say, plainly happened if like an outside perspective was there versus the way you saw it or process it according to your age or because of approaching it as a writer and wanting to remember certain details or creative ways of presenting these events?
Well, when you write creative nonfiction, you try to look at things in two ways. There's the situation that happened. The nun rips up my book. But there's also the story and the meaning that you understand as you age and develop a greater understanding of everything. And so when you're writing creative nonfiction, I think you try to bring all that to bear. So there's that incident with the nun, but there's also my understanding of she was a person and who knows what was going on for her. And also in looking at the bigger picture of myself and my desire to not create a problem that'll get me more attention and more teasing in my life. So there's that dual perspective that I think is very, very important. In terms of the memories, I tried very hard to really be very strict with this really happened and not add something creative to that. Or, you know, there are plenty of wonderful nonfiction writers who are really okay with making a composite character of two or three people. And I never did that. That just doesn't fit for me. So the things that are presented are to the best of my ability, truly what happened. There are plenty of places in the memoir where I talk about I assume or I imagine. And that's what I do with the areas where I'm not so sure.
This book goes through a lot of things and harrowing events like family abandonment, an alcoholic mother who also dealt with the depression, anxiety, drug abuse, and the trauma of being raised under these circumstances. So, how did you immerse yourself in constantly, I'm sure, editing these pieces, going through them over and over, writing them in the first place? How do you do that and then take care of yourself?
Oh, that's another wonderful question. I think when you do the first couple drafts is when the emotion really comes up. So to sit and let that play out and see where you feel it in your body, and maybe that also needs to be added to the narrative, is the first place to go. Secondly, is to get outside for lots of walks. And I think for me, that maybe opposite thing of, you know, when you're writing, you're really closed in a space and inside your head. But then to do the opposite of self-care, which for me is getting outside and moving and working that through. Some of these essays have really been in play for up to 8 years. So by time I'm doing the editing that happened over the last year, it doesn't have an emotional feel, or very rarely has an emotional feel. It's more a piece I'm really trying to work on and shape in word choice and detail choice to the best of my ability.
With some of those times ranging up to 8 years through writing, editing, continuously changing how you present these essays, did that change your relationship with how you viewed these people or events previously?
It did. And I think that was wonderful about the process from Vine Leaves Press, and that one of their editing levels is kind of this big picture level. So that editor would say things like, you know, in that essay about keys, if you took the last third of that and added it to the essay here about riptides, that might be really cool. And my first thought would be, you know, my babies, how can you move those words? But of course I was part of this process, so I'd give it a try, and then I'd be like, boy, that fits, that works there. So some of that was being willing to play with those words and move them around. And there was, during that stage, I had printed out the, I don't know, 160 pages or whatever, and I had them spread out across 2 rooms of my house because I needed the visual of seeing what it looked like if you moved words over here and how that felt. And so I mostly it was a good experience, but I think there's no way I could, as a writer, deal with material that was very fresh. It would just be too much of feeling like your darlings you were killing. But at this point, I was at least willing to try the experiment. And in terms of how this affected my relationship with the characters, something that surprised me, because as I had said, there wasn't, a lot of emotional reactions at this point. But something that surprised me is one of the pieces I was moving around and then writing a little bit where there was there needed to be some more information about my dad. So I was trying to write something. And I felt like I learned a brand new thing that, like, it had never occurred to me to think about what was it like for him to come and pick up this sullen teenager who, his ex-wife didn't want him to be around, and yet he kept doing it. And it was in a late stage of editing that I finally really thought about what that must have been like for him. So there's an example of when it changed my relationship to characters.
Right, seeing them down the road. Oh, they're people too, you know?
Yeah, who knew?
Well, in the title, this didn't really occur to me until I was just about to hop on this call with you, but this is how we leave. Do you see that as like your family legacy or theme, or what does it mean to you? What is the title?
Yeah, way back, when this was a collection of essays, long before I sent it to this publisher, I had titled the book the same title as one of the essays, If Not for the Mess. And I really like that title. But one time, a very kind person who rejected it sent me a really nice letter about needing to find more of a theme that wove through. And when I read his letter, it's almost like I had this aha about how much leaving is in this book. And that's when the new title came to me. And it really cemented things for me as I started to look at these generations of men leaving, but also the other ways that I leave, like by clamming up, and not saying something, or by reading as much as I do, especially as a kid. I just totally left any bad situation through literature, which, is maybe better than drugs, but of course it is. But it's another way of leaving. So sometimes we leave in really positive ways. Sometimes we leave by just daydreaming a lot.
Well, and to have this collection of This Is How We Leave now be able to be shared with so many people, you are inviting people to into your life. And I want to bring up another quote. And this was during an essay when you were reflecting on when your mother's health was declining and she was being moved from a hospital to a care facility. And you were trying to keep all this from your husband and your daughters. And you said, quote, "I wanted this drama kept separate from my husband and children, from my life." So your essays indeed share the same sentiment as you come into yourself throughout the years. So how do you feel literally putting your drama on a page in a book plainly for your family and for people you don't even know to see and invite them into your life?
Yes, that I think it's the distance and the timeline that allows that. At the time of writing that and feeling that when we were living it, I was so angry that it was taking the time from my current family and putting on them something I had to give up some childhood for. So somehow it doesn't bother me as much to have it happen later, and they've read this before. They read, I think they've all read the book beforehand, so they were not surprised by things.
So, has this book sparked more conversations with your family and particularly with your daughters?
Yes, it has, because even though they had read it before, I think they read it with a different eye. Especially I had asked both my daughters in final edits, I said, will you just read this and try to catch small errors, spellings or a period or whatever. And so I think that had them looking at it with a different eye also. And so it did, was questions they would say, like, boy, I didn't really realize that it was that bad with grandma, or, you know, just another memory that they then kind of wanted to explore.
What do you want people to feel or take away from sharing and reading your story, your family stories?
Well, if I could sum it up in one word, I think it would be resiliency. And I think what I would like people to take away is that there are a lot of ways to turn out and to get through hard times and come out positive and use that past to help others. So I hope it would lend hope and help people find their own ways to be resilient during difficult times.
Well, Joanne, it's certainly a great collection, and I thank you for your work on it and for talking with me about it today.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to get to chat with you.
Lake Effect contributor Joanne Nelson lives in Heartland, Wisconsin, and she's the author of This Is How We Leave, which is out now. You can also explore her other essays at wuwm.com.